Welcome to Through the Word, Psalm 76 today, where God does something big. Verse 1, God is renowned in Judah. In Israel, His name is great. God had done something, something big. His name was taking up. Renown means legendary status. God is renowned in Judah. Just His name was awesome and had weight, like a celebrity or hero whose very name demands respect. But what had God done? Verse 2. His tent is in Salem, His dwelling place in Zion. The setting is Jerusalem, Salem meaning peace, Zion being one of the five mountains encircling Jerusalem. Zion was a nickname of the city of Jerusalem, and there God had broken Israel's enemy on the hillside surrounding her. 2 Kings 18 and 19 chronicle the end of a world power, the famous Assyrian Empire, at the gates of Jerusalem, as they encamp around her to conquer her. The king of the Assyrians was a man named Sennacherib, and he had conquered most of the Middle East, including mowing through Judah, taking all of the surrounding city fortresses and the entire nation of Judah, until only Jerusalem was left. Isaiah reports that Sennacherib mocks Jerusalem, calling it a bird in a cage. Sennacherib seeing himself as the cat and the city as easy prey, with nowhere to run. Nowhere to run except to God. And that's exactly what King Hezekiah did. King Hezekiah, the king of Judah, decided to gamble everything on his trust in God. He refused to surrender, and instead, late at night, goes into the temple, just him and God, and spreads out Sennacherib's threatening letter before the Lord and prays. And then he falls asleep. But when he awakes in the morning, verse 3, there, God broke the flashing arrows, the shields and the swords, the weapons of war. You are radiant with light, more majestic than mountains rich with game. The valiant lie plundered. They sleep their last sleep. Not one of the warriors can lift his hands. The valiant lie plundered. They sleep their last sleep. And if you know what happened in the night, that last line would send chills up your spine. So what happened? The people in Jerusalem awoke that morning, expecting the sound of chariots, the rattling of armor, and the sound of their defeat. But instead, they awoke that morning to complete and utter silence. Outside the city walls were 185,000 Assyrian troops encamped around the besieged city. You would have expected to have heard noise, but no. No sound of a camp of soldiers awaking to battle. No clanking of armor, no marching of boots, no rattling of spears or creaking of siege engines, nothing, just silence. Verse 6, at your rebuke, God of Jacob, both horse and chariot lie still. What had God done? We're told in 2 Kings chapter 19 that an angel of the Lord, perhaps the angel of death, moved through the Assyrian camp, euthanizing 185,000 soldiers in a single moment. At your rebuke, God of Jacob, both horse and chariot lie still, eerily still. Remember those eerie words. They sleep their last sleep. Not one of the warriors can lift his hands. There in the middle of the night, those 185,000 warriors sleep, never to wake again. Verse 7, it is you alone who are to be feared. Who can stand before you when you are angry? From heaven you pronounce judgment, and the land feared and was quiet. When you, God, rose up to judge to save all the afflicted of the land, God doesn't have to even enter the field, From heaven you pronounced judgment, and the land feared and was quiet. It is you alone who are to be feared, God, the only one. Just one of God's soldiers, one angel, executes judgment on 185,000 men. Hezekiah was one man, but just one man in 1,000 who trusted God when everyone else thought he was crazy. But Hezekiah knew what verse 7 so proudly sings. It is you alone who are to be feared. Who can stand before you when you are angry? Continuing that theme in verse 10. Surely your wrath against mankind brings you praise, and the survivors of your wrath are restrained. But why was God angry? Why his wrath against men? If you read 2 Kings chapter 18, you'll hear the incredible boast that Sennacherib makes against the God of Israel. And Hezekiah is that one man stands in the gap and asks God to prove who he really is. Therefore, verse 11, make vows to the Lord your God and fulfill them. Let all neighboring lands bring gifts to the one to be feared. Well, there it is again. The one to be feared. One man trusting one God who sent one angel equals 185,000 dead. Let all neighboring lands bring gifts to the one to be feared. Today, in the British Museum, there are a series of plaques on the walls that chronicle the Battle of Lachish, the city fortress Sennacherib took right before this one. And Lachish's walls were much stronger than Jerusalem's. Jerusalem couldn't have stood against the Assyrians, especially since Lachish fell. And there on the walls of the British Museum are the plaques that Sennacherib had the Assyrians make to brag about his victory over Lachish as he conquered it. There are a huge amount of plaques depicting Sennacherib's barbarism against the Israelites. Yet, for the assault of Jerusalem, only two. His defeat at Jerusalem that we read about here would cost Sennacherib his kingdom shortly after, when his own sons rose against him and seized the crown of the failed king after assassinating him. There was no bragging on those plaques about Jerusalem, nor is there an explanation of the defeat of Sennacherib on those two plaques. Just a broken ruler. Verse 12. He breaks the spirit of rulers. He is feared by the kings of the earth. History says that after Jerusalem, Sennacherib was a broken man, a mere shell. What he saw that day on the battlefield ended him, broke him, and opened him up to be slain by those closest to him who no longer feared him. Instead, they feared God. He is feared by the kings of the earth. When a king is conquered by another, we say he met his match. But the mighty Sennacherib met the Almighty that day, and the Almighty has no match. We end by reading verse 7 again. It is you alone who are to be feared. Who can stand before you when you are angry? The answer is no one, my friends. No one. For there is no one like him.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.